Okay. Next is a legal report from Arthur Schwartz.
Okay. So this is my legal report. I frankly, nothing's happened in the last. One thing has happened, right? sorry. We responded to the what some people call the audit letter, which is not the word audit isn't used at all in the letter, from the Attorney General of California. They asked for a number of documents, mostly focusing around the FJC loan and our work with NIDA. So that we had a deadline through today. I got it off yesterday. And I haven't heard back, but, and it was great, really, Nancy, Julia, from NIDA and a number of other people really worked extremely hard to pull documents together. And, so that's basically it. There's nothing new to report since the last meeting about what went on, what's going on in the New Day case. No new. We haven't gotten an answer yet from the lawyer for the two members of New Day. And, none of the other litigation. We have other litigation going along. I mean, one we'll talk about later, I guess, this writ, but, I'm actively involved in, just so people know, there's an arbitration with John Verniel, which is in discovery. There is a Leslie Radford, who is a long time ago general manager at KPFK, I think, who's suing and saying, they're both saying they were fired for being whistleblowers. And I think that's really the only significant outstanding litigation. And both of those cases are in discovery. So
that's, Lawrence, to the stack.
Are you finished, Arthur?
Yep.
You have a question for Arthur Lawrence?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Arthur, I know there has been some cases that have been lingering. Two questions. The first question is, can you give us a more updated, germane kind of with some content update on some of those cases that have been lingering and are in whatever process? And also, the settlement that we engaged in with Steve Brown, can that settlement be modified? Because, that's like $50,000 a month. Can that be, renegotiated or modified in any way?
Okay. I'm not sure what lingering this, we have two lingering cases. One is Verniel and the other is Radford.
The one that's the longest one, and I believe that's
Radford. Radford goes back to 2017. So, and I inherited that. We tried to settle with them. We offered her $80,000. She wouldn't take it. She basically wants to be appointed manager for life at KPFK. She claims that she's entitled to be the general manager till she's ready to retire, which she says it would be at around age 72. It's a bizarre position. Even though she had a 1-year contract at the time she was terminated, I see this as it's an issue that is going to wind up. Well, the arbitrator hasn't even addressed it yet, but I'm taking her deposition next week. So that's what's going on there. They took they took Lydia's deposition because she was the ED at the time when Radford was fired. And they took Bill Crozier's deposition. So I actually got to represent Bill Crozier, which was interesting to me since I got introduced to Pacifica suing Bill Crozier. Defending against the suit that was Bill Crozier versus Bill Crozier. And the Verniel thing is really in its early stages. Same issue. Verniel says he was entitled to be IED for life. He says he's a whistleblower and, even though his contract only had a month to go when he was terminated back in 2019, only in California would anybody make these claims. In terms of Brown, and there's the New Day litigation, which is, as I've told you before, is bizarre, because we're down to basically two people who say they're New Day, and it's Jan Goodman and this woman, Beth Keen. And, and they don't really seem to be in a hurry to countersue to say the bylaw vote that, won. And then there's this case with this writ that we need to amend the Pacifica, not the bylaws, but the certificate of incorporation with some really minor stuff that the tax people in California want in our articles of incorporation. And that's been going on for at least a year, and more than a year. I think I first raised this to the board in February before COVID or March of the COVID period. So a year and a half.
Can you address the Steve Brown question I asked?
So the Steve Brown question, predates me by a long time, but I certainly would be willing to talk to Steve and see if he would be willing to stop sucking money out of Pacifica.
Arthur, I can speak a little bit on that. It's $5,000 a month, not $50,000 a month, and it's a long-standing debt that Pacifica owes Steve Brown due to a legal case that was brought by a certain Mr. Bernard White, a former program director from WBAI, that had no merit, was thrown out of court. But there was Steve Brown got involved. Somehow he became part of the case because Mr. White named him along with Pacifica. And there were a whole bunch of legal things that happened. And Steve Brown's case had to be separated from Pacifica's, and he had to hire his own lawyer. When the whole thing was thrown out, he billed Pacifica for his legal fees. So that's what happened there. I have a question, Arthur. Is there nothing we can do as far as the Radford and Verniel cases? Is there nothing we can do to say countersue them for malicious lawsuits?
No, well, I have counter. We have a counterclaim against Verniel. For example, for committing us to pay $260,000 to a law firm in New York to defend that case without ever running it by the board, for taking WBA off the air for a month in the middle of a fund drive, which probably cost $50,000 to $100,000 in their fund drive. So we have our claim, and also his contract said that he pays half the legal fees to the arbitrator, which he's refusing to pay. And so we have a claim in against him for that. So on his case, we do have a counterclaim. Radford, I don't think there's anything we can do about it. And I'm not sure why, she's demanding reinstatement and $300,000 or $400,000.
Isn't that a case of another malicious lawsuit? Because she knows very well she cannot be named a manager for life when she had a 1-year contract. So this is,
well, you know,
insane.
What?
And she's costing us money to defend this thing.
I had the arbitrator address that issue in the Verniel case early on. And she said it's plausible under California law that if he was fired for being a whistleblower, he has the right to reinstatement.
For life.
Well, I would say for life, because then it'd say any time that you would fire the GM, they'd say, ah, it's because I'm a whistleblower.
I see. Okay.
We're at Karen, may I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Arthur, how is it these people are claiming, how does one claim make a case for being a whistleblower? Is there some information they've supposedly leaked?
Radford said that she raised to the board problems with the pension fund, which she wasn't the only one that knew there were problems with the pension fund. And I don't know, like, I'm going to take her deposition in, I think, on the 17th. So, and that those problems have been dealt with years ago, and it wasn't like anybody was angry at her for doing that. And that's her whistleblow that she says. And, Verniel says that he was fired because he revealed at WBAI that, a cart was run that said, we gotta beat Trump, which he said violated our 501c3 status. That was the reason they gave, one of the two reasons for taking BAI off the air back in 2019. And the second is he says that, he had also blown the whistle on, WBAI using, paying people with 1099s instead of as employees, which there's nothing in any minutes about that happening. And he says he basically did it about a week after he became the interim executive director. And that those are the two reasons why he was fired, not because he did all this stuff, without board approval, including taking WBAI off the air. But that's what he says. And unfortunately, we have to go through discovery, and the arbitrator's fee for the case is $35,000. There is another case we have, the Turner case. So I'm not doing that. That's Andrea Turner and Goldmacher versus that's the one that was dismissed as baseless by a judge, and they're up on appeal. And they're also suing Alex and Grace. So that case, in that case, they're going to wind up paying our fees, but it's up on appeal. They haven't filed any briefs or anything yet.
Okay. We're probably out of time on this item, right?
One question, five minutes ago.
Oh, okay. We're out of time. We have this motion from the KPFA LSB. I wanted to put it on now so that we can get Arthur's opinion. Chris, could you read the motion?
Sure. Hang on a second. I'll type it in the chat too.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is Arthur leaving right away? Because I have some pressing motions that have got to be passed.
No, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, he's not leaving.
But they were going to put this on at the end, so they're doing this now.
Right, but I'm saying if I can get the quick motions passed, and then the one that Chris said was going to take 20 minutes to argue.
There were two motions, Lydia, and this is one of them.
I think this one will be fairly quick, no?
Me too. I agree with the chair on this.
Okay. Make it quick because we've got an idle money pending on the one motion.
Lydia, I promise that I will limit it to 10 minutes.
I will hold you to that.
Thank you. So the KPFA LSB, this is the motion. This came from the KPFA LSB where it was passed without objection. The KPFA LSB demands that the Pacifica National Board use the procedure set forth in the bylaws, Article 18, to amend the Pacifica Articles of Incorporation to include the language required by the California Board of Equalization to obtain an organizational clearance certificate. Now, I'm going to presume that there are other people here that are informed enough about what all this is about to articulate the basis of this motion, and I don't have the bylaws in front of me right now, so I can't cite that particular article, nor am I sure that it's necessary. If Arthur's familiar with the issue and can speak to it, that might be the most cogent way forward. Thank you.
And this is Lydia, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, because I'm the one that's most familiar with the attorneys that are dealing with it and that have dealt with it, as is Arthur. I'm not saying that he's not, but
So for
some of the newer members who don't know what happened was that the business manager at KPFA did not pay property taxes for 8 years, 9 years, now it's like 10. And it wasn't brought to the board's attention until 2018, which predated me. And then when I learned of it and when we learned of it, and I'm very familiar with the tax exemption process because of my other ED position prior to Pacifica. And anyway, so the point is that the Board of Equalization wanted an amended language, which is very minor, which we have already passed as a matter of board. But in Pacifica's bylaws, it requires for the Articles of Incorporation to be changed for the membership to vote on it. As we know, we had the New Day referendum, we had elections, so we had an awful lot going on and expense with those, and the confusion of adding yet something that could be tied to the partisan New Day referendum or whatever. But regardless, I had recommended a bylaws amendment to the bylaws that I thought would remedy it. We passed it. The LSBs passed it. However, the attorneys that are the experts on and have been charged with getting us the tax exemption, that's basically like the meat and butter of that particular law firm. That's what they do. And and so they did not feel that that was sufficient. So enter our other law firm, which represents us in California. So the first one is Lawyers for Nonprofits, and the other one is Alpert Barr. So they decided to try to get a writ of mandate, and that has simply taken a long time because the court could not understand that there wasn't an outside entity or someone that was opposing us trying to change this language. We were merely saying, let us amend our articles of incorporation without going to the expense and everything else that was involved to get this change in the Articles of Incorporation. And so we're using, you know, the language that was recommended by the Board of Equalization. The court got confused. At the end, they ended up having me sue Pacifica, which, of course, the one remedying this whole situation. In between, by the way, the tax assessor put a notice of auctioning off the station. So this is not a minor matter. That's what happens when you don't pay your taxes. You know, they don't like it. And meanwhile, even like last week, Alice Beamer of the KPFA are calling the tax assessor, and he's calling me. Why are these people calling me? Because we have our attorneys interacting with the tax assessors, keeping them abreast of the writ of mandate process, which where it is right now, and I sent this to the board, I also reported last week about it, is that this will be coming up in January 19th, I believe. And at that point, we expect there to be a default, which would mean that then what we submitted would prevail. And then we can go ahead and send send that writ of mandate to the lawyers for nonprofits, who will then immediately file the tax exemption for those now 10 years. And they are saying we do not have to pay those taxes. We would probably only have to pay, the maximum is $250 for each of those years. So that is the opinion of the law firm that's expert on that, and that's where we are. So my recommendation is that we wait until January 19th. Obviously, if the court rules differently, then we have no choice. The rest of this time is clear. We can go get a clean membership vote per the amendment to Articles of Incorporation cited in that motion. However, a committee to demand certain things, committee of the PMB, I don't know that demand was the wise choice of words, but regardless. So that's the situation. So if by January 19th, I would recommend we move ahead and just get the membership vote, regardless of the expense, and get this done with. But until then, I don't think there's anything to do. There's no reason to do it now, when in 2 months we could get a clean verdict and not have to go through the expense.
So,
can I just... Yes, to add,
Arthur should chime in.
So,
Chris to the stack forever.
As I said, this has been lingering, I believe, since February or March or April 2020. And it's taken a god awful time to get this, I don't understand why it's been as complicated as it's been. This is one piece of litigation I didn't get involved in, other than I tried to figure out ways around doing it, but not only under our bylaws, but under California corporation law, if you want to amend the articles of incorporation, you have to have a vote of the membership. And to do a vote of our membership would cost probably around $50,000 and cause all kinds of controversy over, and the language is pretty simple. I mean, it's like the standard language that California requires all nonprofits to have now in their articles of incorporation, except we were incorporated before they had that language. So we went to court to try to save the money. I think probably, in hindsight, we can say we probably paid the lawyers doing the case more money than it would have cost us to do the vote. Except that it would have happened in the middle of all this stuff with New Day so I saw the letter from the lawyer who was in court in the last couple of days, saying that the judge had put it on for a final hearing in January, and I think I agree with Lydia, we should just wait and see what happens in January. It's not worth going through the procedure. If we were going to do a vote, I know there's some bylaws that are being proposed. There's a notice period that just started. You know, if
Arthur, none of those bylaws amendments require a membership vote.
No, I'm saying if they were going to require a membership vote, then we could have just put it all together. But since, it really is an expensive process. Even without controversy. With controversy, it costs $100,000. Without controversy, it costs $50,000. So it's $50,000 we don't need to spend.
Chris for the stack.
Chris, go ahead. And when you're done, I would like to ask somebody to make a motion to postpone consideration of this till after January 19th.
I might be willing to do that. I just want to make two comments before we move to that point, though. First of all, KPFA did pay property taxes during this entire period. They paid the amount that was under the exemption. They were billed a certain amount, and they paid the amount that was due prior to that point from the period prior to that point. Now, all this excessive billing, they were advised at the time not to pay the excessive billing, lest they lose that. It was basically an admission that they were not the corporate entity in question and also not a nonprofit. And so Maria made the conscious choice to not pay those excessive fees, which we are now eligible to get reimbursed, apparently, according to what Lydia just said. My question to both Arthur and Lydia is, why can't we make this part of this bylaws amendment process and not pay a penny more than we would for the bylaws amendment process? I mean, how is this different? How is what is being requested by KPFA different than any of the other bylaws amendments being proposed?
Because it's not a bylaw amendment. It's not a bylaw amendment.
Yeah.
It's an Articles of Incorporation amendment.
Thank you very much, Arthur. Okay.
Which requires a membership vote. I already changed the bylaws.
Okay, thank you.
To reflect the language that they want. But that didn't help.
So I'd like to have it back, please. So I would like to move to postpone this until for further consideration until after January 19th.
Okay. Do we have a second on that?
This is Lyndon. I second it.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for hearing that through. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next item, and that's the EIDL loan.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, and I'd like Arthur to stay on if he would.
Yeah.
For a couple of these motions. I immediately need the EIDL motion that was sent to you, right? It was sent to the board as part of the agenda. Is that correct, Paulina? Paulina?
Yes.
Okay, so everybody has it.
Say that again?
The document, the motion from the
absolutely.
EIDL sent?
Yes,
okay,
everybody
has it.
Has it.
So right. Who wants to read it? Do you want to read it?
I can read it. Okay. 1 second. I'm looking it up right now. Sure. And apologize for the delay. I'm pulling it up right now. I attached it to the... Here it is. Okay. It says... Resolution. In addition to filling out the name of the company and naming the officers / owners, the business entity representative, secretary, record keeper must complete the certification at the bottom of the page, sign, and list the date of the resolution passed by the organization. And the resolution is the following, for the U.S. Small Business Administration, resolution and certification of, we would print here Pacific, Foundation Inc. 1. Resolved that the officers / owners of Pacifica Foundation Inc., hereinafter referred to as organization named below, or any of them, or their, or any one of their duly elected or appointed successors in office, and they are hereby authorized and empowered in the name and on behalf of this organization to execute and deliver to the Small Business Administration, an agency of the Government of the United States of America, hereinafter called SBA, in the form required by SBA, the following documents. A. Application for a loan or loans, the total thereof not to exceed in the principal amount of, and here,
$2 million,
maturing upon such date or dates and bearing interest at such rate or rates as may be prescribed by SBA. B. Applications for any renewals or extensions of all or any part of such loan or loans and of any other loans that heretofore or hereafter made by SBA to this organization. C. The note or notes of this organization evidencing such loan or loans or any renewals or extensions thereof. And D. Any other instruments or agreements of this organization which may be required by SBA in connection with such loans, renewals, and or extensions, and that said officers in their discretion may accept any such loan or loans in installments and give one or more notes of this organization therefore, and may receive and endorse in the name of this organization any checks or drafts representing such loan or loans or any such installments E, sign guarantee of loan or loans in the principal amount of SBA loan. Item two, further resolved that the aforesaid officers, owners, or any one of them...
emotional and life supporting.
Hello? Somebody else talking? Okay. Or any one of them, or their duly elected or appointed successors in office, be and they are hereby authorized and empowered to do any acts, including but not limited to the mortgage, pledge, or hypothecation from time to time with SBA of any or all assets of this organization to secure such loan or loans, renewals and extensions, and to execute in the name on and on behalf of this organization or otherwise any instruments or agreements deemed necessary or proper by SBA in respect of the collateral securing any indebtedness of this organization. Three, further resolved that any indebtedness heretofore contracted and any contracts or agreements heretofore made with SBA on behalf of this organization and all acts of officers or agents of this organization in connection with said indebtedness or said contracts or agreements are hereby ratified and confirmed. Four, further resolved that the officers, owners referred to in the foregoing resolutions are as follows. And we're supposed to add additional pages if more than three officers, owners required. So then the three names of the officers go. Five, further resolved that SBA is authorized to rely upon the aforesaid resolutions until receipt of written notice of any change. And then I'm supposed to, as secretary, I'm supposed to certify that the foregoing is a true and correct copy of a resolution regularly presented to and adopted by the authorized representatives of Pacifica Foundation, Inc. at a meeting duly called and held at which a quorum was present and voted, and that such resolution is duly recorded in the minute book of this organization, that the officers named in said resolutions have been duly elected or appointed to and are the present incumbents of the respective offices set after their respective names. There you go.
Okay, and the names will be mine, everything in SBA and the PPP. We're all executive director as the first, and SBA knows this. They just said we didn't send this resolution and we need it. And Alex is chair and Paulina as secretary. She signs there and she signs below. They want the secretary to certify. And that's just, you know, pro forma thing that we have to do because, we applied for $2 million. We applied for $2 million last year. And then SBA ran out of money, so they only sent us $150,000, not only, but $150,000. So then this year we applied for $2 million again, and our tax, our 990 did not, amended 990 did not match the transcript that the IRS has for us. So, Anita and Tamara are going to request that transcript to compare it. Tamara's theory is that she sent fiscal and they wanted calendar. And so she probably just sent the 990. We were unable to on the portal add that. When I spoke to the loan officer, they called me and they told me about this problem. And they said, you can either not accept the 500,000, which is actually 350,000 because they deducted the 150,000 they gave us last time from that amount. It's all one loan, by the way. Until we get up to hopefully that $2 million. But, anyway, so he said you can wait until you resolve the transcript problem to get the higher amount, however high they're gonna go. And, or you can accept the 500,000, meaning the 350,000 right now, and then you just apply again for another, amended loan, which is what we just did. To get to where we are now. So of course I said, accept the money now, the 500,000, loan now. And, since it doesn't interfere with our, applying for the larger, we will continue to enter the $2 million. They, make their own adjustments thereafter. So we will resubmit our collateral and so forth, which far exceeds, of course, the $500,000 they approved. And as I explained last week, and also whatever the resolution is of the difference between the IRS transcript and our amended 990. So that's where we are. But in the interim, we have to send this in so that now that we have the money, we can apply anew and the portal will allow us to send in the additional information. This came from one of the loan officers, and I have to send this back to him, certified by the secretary.
So
somebody just needs to make a motion to accept it, I hope.
Lyndon to the stack.
I have some questions.
We need a motion first. Can Thank we get a motion to accept this?
I'll move to accept.
Can we get a second?
A second. Okay.
Okay. So I'll take a stack now. Chris, you wanted to speak?
Yes. So I jotted a few questions down as we were going along. I think it was section B or C. The applications for renewals or extensions, does that include the EIDL loan that's already been granted, or does it include nothing?
No. Yeah, it includes everything. This actually, they said that we really should have sent this in the first time. I thought we did. I remembered filling this form out. Maybe when, maybe Tamara couldn't put it up on the portal, but again, a cursory search didn't locate it, so it's hard to say. I want to just be on the safe side. But yeah, it's all one loan.
Okay.
We start paying the $150,000 sometime next year. We don't have to pay this until, you know, the year after start paying this.
Okay.
So that's where we are.
I had two more quick questions regarding the wording of this paperwork. So, one is there was a guarantee clause there. It was part of the enumerated portion of the motion that Paulina read. Who are the guarantors for this loan?
It's Pacifica, and as okay. it says, even
okay.
if
it's the corporation,
it's the corporation. So even if the IED and chair and everybody changes, it doesn't matter. It already has the wording in there that it's for any successors.
Okay, and just for the benefit of the PMB to hear, the SBA will take second position on this, right? We don't need to get our lender to subordinate their interest in our assets.
That is right? Arthur, that's Arthur's opinion.
I see, okay. So that's yet to be determined.
We got Arthur's opinion before we filed this. So that,
okay. Thank you. Yeah. That's all.
This is Lyndon, okay. please.
Yeah, Lyndon. Go ahead.
Thank you. I had to look up hypothecation. Never seen that one before. But I guess it's like that's our collateral, mortgage, pledge, or hypothecation. What are we going to collateralize here?
KPFT is not... I did not include KPFT's property.
I didn't. That wasn't my question.
I know. I'm not finished speaking, if I may. We included KPFK and KPFA, again, far exceeding what we were asking for, KPFK being slightly higher value than KPFA's property, but close.
I thought they were already collateralized for the FJC loan.
Yeah, Arthur, would you like to explain again?
No, they're taking second. They're taking second place, and FJC knows we're doing this. They're thrilled.
Yeah.
Because I told them they get part of their loan back.
Okay. Anybody else? Ali, you have your hand up. Did you want to speak?
Oh, sorry. That was from before when Arthur was speaking. I'll put.
Chair, this is Paulina, also I was requesting a quick comment.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Oh, thank you. I remember clearly certifying this and signing this. Lydia, can you clarify that? I mean, this is a new one or what? Because I do remember.
This is the original one that I have, but mm-hmm. whether it was entered in the portal at the time, only Tamara was entering things in the portal because she had that's what she was entering, all of the financial stuff. But I couldn't find my copy of it. So if you have it, you can send that. But let's just vote on this. It doesn't hurt to have two copies of it in case.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
But if you have the other one, that would be good because then I can say, you know, we did send it back when, and here's another one.
Yep. Sure, I'll find it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Are there any objections then to this? I don't know what you call it. This motion. Okay, so it's approved without objection.
Okay. Thank you.
So no, we do have to discuss the disbursement issue, right?
But exactly. But I ask that we get these motions out of the way because the. Our deadline is in 15 minutes, if I may. I have other pressing motions.
Okay.
Okay. So we need, there were two resignations by board ops at KPFK, and both Mark and the new GM there, have asked that we have to get to other, at least temporary floaters. And I need a motion for that, that we get replacement board ops. These are board ops at this.
I can't hear you, Lydia.
Yeah, this is for waivers to hire two temporary, board ops floaters. Because the existing board ops just can't cover this many shifts, and it would be overtime and so on and so forth. So these are at $15 an hour temporary floaters to replace the two who resigned, Kiana and Lisette, and I need a motion.
Okay, does somebody want to make that motion?
Chair, I move that motion to provide a waiver to hire the two board ops at the salary we requested. Thank you.
Okay. If Lydia can give me that amount again, I'll type it into the chat.
$15 an hour.
Okay. So I have...
We need a second.
Do you want me to read it? Read what I have here, Lawrence?
Yes, go ahead, please, Chris.
Okay, the PNB, Lydia, I put an expiration on this of January 2022. Do you think that's adequate?
No, I think those were permanent employees, so after these are temporary, as soon as we can post the new job thing, so I wouldn't put a date.
Okay, I'll leave the date off. The PNB authorizes the IED to hire replacement board ops at $15 per hour per case.
No, wait. The GM, KPFK GM.
Okay, the K.
I'm not hiring him.
All right, I got it. KPFK GM. Sorry. The PMB authorized the KPFK GM to hire replacement board ops at $15 per hour for KPFK on a temporary basis.
Yes.
We need a second for that.
Chris, can you please put that in the chat so I can put it in the minutes?
Done.
Can I get a second on that motion?
Thank you.
I guess I'll second it. That was Lawrence's motion, theoretically.
Oh, okay. Are there any objections? Okay, the motion is
passed. Yes, I object. I object.
Okay, Lyndon objects. Let's take a vote.
Okay. Hang on. The vote is on whether to hire these temporaries, right?
Correct.
Right.
Chair, can we get a request for information?
Yeah. What is your request?
How many board ops are there now at KPFK, full-time or part-time?
Ali would know best. There are few. We actually need more. We've had two resignations. Let's see. I think we only have like three or four.
And one layoff.
Yeah, and one layoff, but that wasn't...
That was unnecessary.
That was... Okay. Oh, please. Anyway, so this is being... the replacements are being recommended by Mark, who is tearing his hair out about finding floaters to take the board op positions.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so there's four board ops to cover 168 hours a week. Is that basically it?
It's five.
Five, okay. Thank you.
Is there a continuing opposition to this motion?
There's an objection. We're going to have to go to a vote.
Request for information.
What is your request, Beth?
I'd like to know how much this adds to the annual budget in terms of expense for KPFK.
It reduces it because your previous board ops were both were in the bargaining unit. So they
That's wrong. Only Kiana was in the bargaining
unit. Kiana, but Lisette was making more than 15, as I recall.
But she wasn't a union member. She wasn't getting benefits.
Right, but regardless. Anyway, so it's less.
There's an overtime question too, right?
Yeah, the overtime was, this is what we're trying to avoid, because even if the board ops that we have were able to fill, because they have been, but then we have to pay them overtime. So that's what we're trying to avoid.
Okay.
Point of information.
Yes, Lyndon.
Or just have a question. Have you tried to get volunteer board ops?
You have to have trained, certified board ops, and that there will be all kinds of efforts for volunteer issues. But as you know, Kiana's day was just last week, and so to the degree that you can train people and have them certified and see if they want to take the shifts, that's going to be true of several positions, right?
I'm not sure all the board ops in Houston are certified.
There are no board ops in Houston.
What?
Okay. This is Beth to Stack briefly.
Beth? Yeah.
Yes. I'm somewhat familiar with the situation at our station, so I understand that this motion may be reasonable. But it makes me really uneasy to have things like this thrown at us at the last minute. We don't hear about it until we're hearing in closed session, when there's no time to do due diligence to check things out. We're expected to make a decision on the spot. And that leaves me, as a board member, that leaves me really, really uncomfortable. So in the future, if you need our support on something, please let us know far enough ahead that we can do our own due diligence and confer and do proper oversight. This just, it always leaves me really uncomfortable. Even when it's something I might like to support, it's really disconcerting. Thank you.
Okay. May I respond also? Is that as you know, that when we were dealing with the KPFK issue last time, we reported that Kiana was leaving. Prior to that, we reported that Lisette was leaving. So this is not like a brand new issue, but these things come up. But that's why it's only temporary, and it's only $15 an hour. I don't know what else that I can say. It's not something that I want. It's something that you as board members and directors for KPFK should want. But I think that we're at the point of taking the role. I have more motions, critical, one about the KPFT.
Allowance to the stack. No, and you know what? Disregard it. I'll put my hand up.
Okay. We do have to wrap this up pretty quick. Let's just go to a vote.
Okay, and the vote is whether to hire these temps. Chris Corey.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lyndon Foley.
No.
Votes no. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Julie Hewitt. Julie?
Yes.
Votes yes. Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Wally James.
No.
Votes no. Dwayne Lark.
Abstain.
Abstains. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstains. Thomas O'Rourke.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lydia Ponce.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ron Pinchback.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ralph Pointer. Ralph? Okay. Sandra Rawline. Okay, I think Sandra's not on the call. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Tigerton. James?
Sorry, muted, yes.
Votes yes. Andrea is excused. Beth Van Gunten.
Abstains.
Abstains. Let's see. We were missing Ralph Pointer. Is Ralph still on the call? Okay, hearing nothing from Ralph, we will count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yes votes, and 1, 2 I thought I heard more than 2 no votes, but I've only got 2 on the board here. We have 3 abstentions. Alex, how do you choose to vote?
Abstain.
You abstain. Okay. 11 yes votes and 2 no votes. The motion passes.
Okay. May I proceed?
Yes. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. And so the next one is, and, you know, we've been following this for months. So we accepted the 1.1 offer from Urban Properties, and I sent everyone that. And then they came up with new measurements. They had their surveyor go out, and it turned out to be less footage than we advertised. But I think that Lyndon mentioned last week that they knew there had been that kind of a discrepancy. But anyway, so it's, I think, a couple hundred feet less than what we advertised. Anyway, so but I didn't know that. I didn't know that this was semi-known. And so I ordered our own survey, and it basically, short of a couple of feet, agreed with his with the Urban Property Surveyor. And so the Urban Property Surveyor wanted to reduce the $1.1 million cash offer by $145,000. The real estate broker, our real estate broker, recommends that we not lower our the offer that we accepted. It's up to them what they build, and you know, if they make a condominium smaller, that's up to them. That's not our prerogative. And so he doesn't think we should reduce it. I certainly don't either. There is another offer, but that's lower than the 1.1 that we have. So, Urban Properties does need just wants to feel confident that we took it to the board and that we are on the same page, that we want to stick to the original cash offer that we approved.
Lyndon, please, Zach.
Okay, well, we need a motion then to, we already approved this, right? So we need a motion to reaffirm?
We're not going to reduce what we initially accepted as the offer, however somebody wants to word that. I actually didn't
Chair,
have a motion.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I know Lyndon's before me.
Yeah, I heard Lyndon first. We still need a motion. Who wants to make a motion?
I wanted to be recognized and make a motion. And I guess the motion is to reject the new offer, right, and stand pat on the original offer that we accepted, right? So that would be the motion.
To reject the reduction in the cash offer, yeah.
So that's what I moved, Chair, to reject the reduction in the offer and stay pat, hold our hands pat with the $1,100,000.
Okay, can we get a second on that?
I second. This is Lyndon. I second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
Okay. I just want to lay out the numbers accurately so everybody can hear them.
I agree.
If I may.
Go ahead.
The September 23rd, the August 27th offer, the original offer was $1.106 million. And then they came back with an offer of $1.169, and then they had that $552.50 for some reason. And then the other offer from another group was $1,085,000. So, and now the Urban Properties are coming saying they want to subtract $145,000 from that offer, which would make their offer $1.024 million. And I also noticed in their math there, they used 1160 and divided that by 8 units to come to the 145. Of course, that helps us a tad, but anyway. But those are the numbers. A little more detailed.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to reject the offer and stand by our original offer? Okay. Then that's approved.
One quick question. Sorry, guys. Mr. Chair, can I ask this question?
Go ahead, Ron.
If we affirm our previous offer as opposed to reject the, I guess that's the same thing, but I'm wondering about a fallback position if they say, well, then, we're off the table. Without this reduction, we're no longer players. Do we have a fallback position, other than the other, person? Thank you, Little.
Yes.
Please respond. Thanks.
Well, we have the fallback position is the other offer, which is close, but we would have to bring them up.
When you mean bring them up, you mean
bring them up in price.
Julie to the state.
Oh.
Yeah.
Counter offer.
Yeah.
Okay. And if they're unwilling to do that?
Well, we have, everything is like a step.
Yeah,
so,
I hear you.
It has been. So I think that this, my personal feeling, anyone else can express it, that these Urban Properties waited for us for months well, we weighed the decision. So it tells me, in my experience, that they really want that property. Enough to do the 1.2, but you know, they make their calculations, and so it's, I think that it was, because the realtor already told them that, because as I reported last week or the week before, that I was confident that I could take it to the board, but that he could quote me as saying that I did not believe that the board would reduce it by $145,000 based on that. He did not walk. And, so that's it. So I think this just solidifies that position. He's had ample time to get out of this deal. So.
Okay. Thank you, Leonard. Appreciate it.
Okay. Julie, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to add that if Urban Properties really wants us to drop it by that much and they back out, right? Then, then the other offer is the higher price anyway. So that's who you would go, you know, and make a counter offer to and see if you couldn't get them to raise their price, right?
Right.
So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, the other one closes early. It closes December 19th.
And was it also a full cash offer?
Full cash offer by a reputable builder. So,
Lyndon for the stack.
Lyndon?
Lydia, have you sent us a copy of the survey that we had done?
Yes, I think that's what I sent.
Well, I thought it was, and I never saw any square footage on it, but it was Urban Properties.
I think it was saying because that's the buyer.
Well, I know, but you had one, right?
No, I think the one that we did says that we're doing this because we had this interested party, but I'm not sure. I could recheck, but that's what he sent me when we just did it.
Okay, I just wanted to see the one we paid, $2,000 or $3,000 for.
Yeah, the survey was done, was performed on October 25th. And my only hesitation with the first survey was the fact that Markeisha said they had canceled their appointment to have her unlock the gate because now it's fenced off. And so then there was some question as to whether they really took accurate measurements. So then we got the surveyor and Markeisha opened everything up and they did measure everything. So it was pretty consistent.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We already passed the motion. So, Lydia, one more thing. Don't we have to have a motion on the disbursements from the portion of the
audit? So that's my closing thing, but I think it's after midnight. So if we can get like a 5-minute extension, maybe.
Yeah, we need
I have kind of a solution to this.
Let's make it a 10-minute extension. Does somebody want to?
Okay.
Somebody wants to
extend for 10 minutes.
Second.
Are there any objections?
Chair, can I be recognized for a second?
Yes, what?
I'm not going to object, but I'm going to ask if this is the last extension that we're going to have for this meeting.
I'm for that.
Lydia?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the last extension we're going to need?
Yeah, this is my last motion.
Okay, thank you. No objection.
Okay, so you saw what we dispersed from the funds that we received. We repaid KPFA and so forth. And by the way, KPFK, we had to go to them to pay for the ballot house, simply voting, and for autumn. Is it autumn? No, honest ballot. And they weren't going to release the election results unless we paid them. We did owe them a bit. So I didn't know that actually until I started getting the emails. Actually, it was Alex again. Alex called me. So the only one in the B of A balances that had a large enough cash in their bank account was KPFK, so we asked them for a $25,000 advance, and then we repaid it because now they're, thanks to Julia, I don't know if she's still on the phone, is helping them work out to pay their central services and catch up with their payables and so forth. As you can see, the Steve Brown settlement we paid because, again, that's a court settlement. And we were behind with that. And we certainly, whenever it's that kind of a settlement, it's like with Empire was, you don't breach that. The audit firm, we paid $40,000 for obvious reasons. They won't start the audit unless they're paid. And then very importantly, if Arthur Schwartz is on the phone, thank you, Arthur. FJC was really upset about the $60,000 that should have come out of the bequest to BAI and that we owed, and we don't want anything rocking the boat relative to their, to their cooperation, shall we say, with the disbursement from the sale of KPFT, which we are still confident, Arthur is confident it will still be in the $300,000 to $350,000 range that they will keep and the rest for the purchase of the new station. So that was important. Arthur, out of his own funds, advanced it the day before because we didn't know when the idle money would come in, but then it came in the next day, so we reimbursed Arthur. So that's basically what we did. All three of us agreed on that. So what's left, I think the easy one is to repay affiliates. And this is $13,000, but I saw an email from Ursula, a separate one that said $17,000, but the other four, I think, were the NETA server expense. So the $13,000 is the one from advance to KPFK. And then what is the other one? And then I think that if the board agrees that since Anita is out, that we talk to Anita and to Arthur and negotiate how much we need to pay. Oh, so the other big one is going to be the D&O insurance. That's the only thing I think. I think if the board agrees on the D&O insurance and Ursula, that takes care of two of the biggies, and then we can talk to Arthur and NETA and see how much of their account we have left, because we don't have that much left.
I have that information.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Is that Julie?
Is that Julia?
Julia. It's Julia. Julia.
Sorry. Go ahead, Julia.
Okay. Hold on. I'm sorry. I need to turn my flashlight on because I'm actually in the bed. It's late over here. So through November, the past due amount will be $166,000. That does not include the addition of the KPFK contract, which was picked up. I know I went there in mid-October. I don't know. I'm not sure what that October amount will be, but the annual amount is $35,000. So that moves the monthly amount that will be, you know, kind of compounding the situation to just over $30,000 a month. So again, come the end of November, we'll be at 166.
We know what the total is. But as we have in the past, when we have a conversation directly with Anita, then she tells us how much they really need out of this for the immediate, because we're going to get more money from IDLE once we settle this other thing, and other monies that will be coming in. So I'm saying we can talk to the team. The motion that was passed, Julia, last month was that if Anita, myself, and Alex agree to disbursements out of this restricted account and we copy the board, then we can do that. But since we did not get the full $500,000, we can't afford to pay Arthur and NETA their full amounts because there's, what, another $100,000 or more shortage.
Right, I think she was thinking that you were, y'all were going to propose how much you were able to pay. That's why she asked me
to call. Yeah, yeah, we will. And so that, so what I'm suggesting is that the three of us talk with Arthur and Anita on a call and work out what we can, you know, we can pay for each out of the 100,000 that's left.
It's 120,000, isn't it, Lydia?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And we will have, you know, our regular income coming in, but the thing is that since the three of us have to agree because it's now in a restricted account, then I think that we should. I think it worked out pretty well with that initial list. We let NETA tell us what the priorities are, and then if the three of us agree and we copy, let the board know. And the board right now knows what it is that we're considering, then I think we can work it out since it's 12:13.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing about this. I agree with everything you just said, but I think we really have to double down. And when we get the next installment on the EIDL loan, whenever that's going to be and however that's going to be, we have to make absolutely certain that something like a 50% total of the EIDL loan is set aside for FJC. We really have to make sure of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'll be striving to get. I've had long conversations with these loan officers, trying to extract as much as possible, as close to that $2 million minus what they've advanced. So. They haven't indicated that we would not be eligible for it for any other reason. They didn't say anything about our properties negatively or whatever. But there you go. And absolutely, and we also have to simply come up with a plan to pay off FJC. We should go on the assumption that they won't give us another extension. I'm not sure that that's true, but. I think that we need to be realistic and come up with options. But anyway, so there you go. But can we get an approval to at least pay Ursula the $13,000, and do we want to pay the $30,000 for our director's insurance?
Chair, this is James.
Okay.
Did you say James?
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to say that I know that Anita is very accommodating for us when she's in these meetings. But I do want to say that she has confided in me privately that they're getting close to the edge at NETA, and they do need to get a payment, and we should keep in mind that. Just as we had to pay the auditors so that we can get our current audit going and maintain our status now as being in compliance with our audits, we need to keep our accountants going so that they can assist in that audit process, which is really keeps our licenses intact and keeps us alive as a radio network. So I hope that we can do our best for NETA.
Of course. And like I said, as soon as probably when Anita gets back and they can get that transcript, if Tamara hasn't already gotten it, and find out what was inconsistent between the 990 that was sent in and the IRS transcript, and then we should be able to apply for the larger amount. But before that, obviously, we should pay off some of NETA and some of Arthur's. So. But for right now, can we approve Ursula and the D&O insurance?
Okay.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
We make a motion to approve paying of affiliates and the DNO.
Yes, that's the motion that I will move, Chair.
Thank you.
See you in a second.
We get a second.
Second, James.
Yes, I concur.
Okay. Thank you. And then we will copy the board on what we end up paying, because what we're going to end up paying the two of them anyway might come out of other monies. So there's that. I know I just spent the day sending all the documentation for a small grant at KPFK, a $9,000 one. So sending them the documentation for that. So anyway, but moving ahead, catching up.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
I have a question, Chair. There's a, and this is maybe for Heather as well. Do the affiliates have any other outstanding debts that are owed to them? Maybe you could answer that question, Lydia, or Heather.
Well, that's all that Ursula sent us, just that and $40,000 by NETA for the use of their server.
Okay.
Yeah, just that server expense. Yeah, right. Thank you for that.
Right. That's right. Right. And I'm sure once we move on paying NETA, then they can facilitate that. But okay, the $17,000 is what's due right now. So if we can approve that right now, we can.
Yeah, we got to vote on this. Yeah. Are there any objections?
Yeah, this is James. Can I just make a clarification?
Go ahead, James.
I thought I heard Lydia say $40,000, but my understanding from Ursula is it's $4,080 that's owed on the servers.
Oh, right.
Is that right, Lydia?
Yes.
That's okay, correct. Good. Thank you.
Well, that's a good clarification, James.
Yes, thank you. That was like Lawrence's 50 versus 5 on Steve. Okay.
I don't know where I got that number from. I'm stuck on $50,000. That's how much I make a year.
I got the $40,000.
Yeah. Decimal places. Okay. You weren't paying
a lot of numbers blowing around.
Yeah. When they taught you decimal places in the fifth grade, you weren't paying attention.
Exactly. I also haven't had dinner, so let's take a vote.
Okay, let's go, folks. Are there any objections to that motion? Okay, great, terrific. We don't have time for anything else tonight now but to report out.
Chris, do your thing.
Okay, off to the races. Hang on a second.
And Paulina, as soon as you can sign that form so I could send it first thing tomorrow. And it was a fillable form, too.
I think we covered all
of this,
didn't we? The PNB met in closed session to discuss proprietary financial, legal, and personnel matters.
Sounds good. Anybody have any?
Did you do proprietary?
Yep. I did.
Yeah,
okay.
Lydia, before we sign off, I sent to you and to the PNB the form that I originally signed.
You want me to sign it also?
No.
It only has to be signed by the secretary.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And we just entered your name. Yeah, that's what I thought we had done it. Okay.
Absolutely, we did. And the thing is now it's going to, you know, if we want to sign it with a new date, that will take me a while because I don't have a scanner.
Right. I'll explain it to the guy. It's not a problem.
Yeah. But you know, I resent you the form that you had sent and submitted, so it must be on Tamara's end.
So you send it to me from Paulina. Okay.
No, I sent it to you from secretary, and to the PMB, by the way, so everybody knows that it had been done and that, you know,
right.
Somewhere out the ball got dropped. Thank you.
Yeah, if you can send it to me from Paulina, then I'll to iCloud. Okay.
Are there any objections to the report out? Okay, then that's the report out. We need a motion to adjourn.
I haven't seen the report out.
Chris, you want to repeat it?
Chris, okay.
The PNB met in closed session to discuss proprietary financial, legal, and personnel matters.
Excelente.
Okay. Marion, don't go away. I want to ask you something before we leave.
I'm here.
Okay. So We have a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn, James.
Okay.
Second line.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Thank you.
Enchanted night in the public.